This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll visit with John Wirt, the entertainment editor for the Baton Rouge Advocate. We'll talk with John about the year in film and music and in our community. Much happening as we begin 2014. Happy New Year to you. Last night, a big blowout in downtown Baton Rouge, led by Mayor President Kip Holden, who was with us yesterday. We'll talk about that. Annie DeFranco canceling a retreat at Nottoway Plantation, but her concert will go on as scheduled Friday night at the Varsity. We'll talk with John, who's been following this story with Ernest. Kip Holden yesterday revealing that one of Barry Manilow's songs is his theme song, and Barry Manilow is coming to Baton Rouge in this month of January. We'll talk about this, too, and much more with John Wirt. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, and good morning to you. Happy New Year. Glad you're starting your year with 89.3 WRKF. Quite a celebration last night in downtown Baton Rouge, led by His Honor, Mayor President Kip Holden, who was with us yesterday. And John Wirt of The Advocate has been following the entertainment scene in this community for more than a decade, and things have livened up downtown for sure. Kip Holden's been responsible for much of the activity involving Bayou Country Superfest, which comes to Baton Rouge every May. And this year it'll be 3 days. And that's one time of the year when LSU football is not supreme in Tiger Stadium. We do want to note that the Tigers will be playing today in Tampa, Florida in the Outback Bowl, 8-point favorites over the University of Iowa. Last time those teams met was in the final game for Nick Saban as LSU coach on the first day of January in 2005, when Iowa won on a last-second pass to beat LSU in Saban's finale. Today, Les Miles, of course, is hoping for better things and trying to win a 10th game in a season for a fourth consecutive year, which would be a first at Louisiana State University. So we'll follow the Tigers. High noon is the kickoff, and LSU perhaps not performing up to the expectations that are now stratospheric among fans, but still having a good season, and today's season would be enhanced with a victory over the Iowa Hawkeyes. John Wirt, last night, thousands of people downtown in Baton Rouge braving the cold air to see the red stick drop, and Mayor President Kip Holden was in his element. And he is a guy who I think has been a friend to the artistic community.
I've seen him out at various events, and yeah, he does seem to support the arts community. And having a vibrant arts community and performances and gallery openings and all these things really contributes to the quality of life in a community.
Well, he's a guy who's put his money where his mouth is. He's certainly used funds that are at his behest to further the arts, and last night may not have been a major artistic endeavor, but it got a lot of people in the community together, and Baton Rouge is now in some ways rivaling New Orleans for the way we show our appreciation for fun and frivolity, and there were fireworks and the whole bit, and I must say it was an impressive turnout considering it was a cool night.
There was I want to say I listened to WRKF and I watched CNN at the same time in the morning. And CNN had a montage of all of different cities around the country. Nashville and New Orleans was in that group. I didn't see Baton Rouge in that group. But they had a montage of all the celebrations all over the country. And it's quite a few cities doing this, and a lot of cities want to have something like this, so now Baton Rouge has it as well.
And the 4th of July is always a spectacular event for Baton Rouge. Now, yesterday on this show, Mayor Holden was touting the upcoming performance 4 weeks from tonight at the River Center of one Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow is, I think, now 71 years old. John Wirt, are you eagerly awaiting his arrival in our community?
I saw the billboard on I-10 on the way over here. I think one of the really nice things that Manilow and he's got a foundation, He's donating a new Yamaha piano to the East Baton Rouge Parish school system. And he's encouraging people in the community to donate instruments to the school, to the school system. And I don't remember exactly the details of this, but it could be that instruments can be dropped off at the River Center during regular hours, the River Center box office. And if I'm not mistaken, and we'll have to check this, people who donate instruments, gently used instruments, new instruments, will get a couple of tickets to the show. But we have to check that.
Barry Manilow, of course, has been the subject and the target of people who have ridiculed his performing style, but he has been an enduring performer now for well over four decades. And yesterday, the mayor, Melvin Kipholden, acknowledged that when he was down for the count a few times, he found inspiration in a particular Manilow song. And, John, I don't know if you heard the show yesterday, but... Could you perhaps, was it Mandy? Which song do you think it was from Barry Manilow that...
I can't believe I didn't hear the show yesterday. I must have been had to go into work early or something.
I don't want to stump you, but...
A Manilow song that inspired song. Yes. Kip Holden. Mandy, Copacabana...
Bandstand?
The American Bandstand's theme with lyrics,
Weekend
as Barry Manilow
England.
Did it. I don't know.
Well, I think Kevin Gallagher has found it. Here we go.
I made it through the rain. I kept my world protected. I made it through the rain. I kept my point of view. I made it through. Self-respected by the others who got rained on too and made it through.
Now I'll let John collect himself as we resume our conversation.
Yes, I'm so moved. I'm kidding. Barry Manilow does suffer from a lack of coolness, I have to say. You know, he's not considered, you know, hip or anything like that. I mean, he's a very talented guy. He had a great career, lots of hit records. So I hope it's a great show. And as I say, I really do appreciate what he's doing with the instrument donations to the schools.
Well, some of the people who appeared in Baton Rouge this year, 2013, I guess last year, of note, and I'm sure I'm missing some, but these are just a few I jotted down as John was talking. Joan Baez, Bill Maher, Diana Ross, Elton John, many country favorites were at the Bayou Country Superfest. Audra McDonald was here, Wilson Phillips, Smokey Robinson, the Commodores. Kevin Costner performed here as a musician, not as an actor. And Johnny Rivers came back home, another big name who also is 71 years old, as is Barry Manilow. Joan Baez, who was on this show a few years ago and is one of the legends of music, was at the Red Dragon Listening Room. How did that happen?
Joan Baez has a connection to someone in the music business here in Baton Rouge, and this person moved from, I think it was L.A. to Baton Rouge. His wife is from the area. So he moved back home with his when his wife wanted to move home, he moved with her. And so, honestly, you know, I just saw his name the other day, and I've forgotten it. But he's been in the music business. He's a producer, a record producer, and he's done lots of great projects, including... Joan Baez, if I'm not mistaken. And so that's how Joan Baez ended up playing for 100 people. Let's see, two shows. So she played for about 200 people at the Red Dragon Listening Room was it November or December? It wasn't long ago. And no. I attended the first show.
How was she?
It was a nice show, obviously a very intimate show. I mean, one of the most intimate shows that she's done since she was starting in the 1950s, very small audience, as I say, about 100 people. And it was very nice. And she played a lot of the songs you'd identify with her. And some of it was rather spontaneous. At one point, she danced Cajun style on the stage with one of her friends.
She is in her 70s as well.
She is about 71, 72 years old, the same as Johnny Rivers
and Barry Manilow.
And Barry Manilow.
And Diana Ross isn't far behind, nor is Elton John. Diana Ross with the symphony, how was she?
She also played more recently at the Sanger Theater in New Orleans. And that this was back May's spring, I suppose, at the River Center with the symphony, Symphony Pops concerts. And I was not pleased with that show, and I know I said it on your program earlier. She brought her own band, and I don't think she performed the symphony at all. So she did the symphony did its thing, and then Diana Ross and her band did their show. And I don't think it was a great performance. You know, I'm sorry.
Now you are much more enthused about Smokey Robinson.
Now that was a wonderful performance, and I know that people really loved it. And I actually saw people walking out of Diana Ross before the show was over. But
You're
Smokey
kidding.
Robinson again is about the same. All these people are about the same age, you know, and they experienced their greatest fame in the 1960s. So the Smokey Robinson show at Le Bourge Casino. He did a lot of his hits, and he sang them very well, and he had a good, tight, small group. Diana Ross had a louder group, a bigger group. I think it was too loud, too big. Just kind of just not that great a show. Robinson's really on top of it, though. He's a performer who, seeing him and hearing him and seeing the way he reacts to the audience and the audience reacts to him, he's a guy who's still on fire for making music and performing for people. And I understand he's making some new recordings, and perhaps we'll see another album from Smokey Robinson. Of course, he's one. He and Diana Ross both come out of Motown. And Smokey Robinson, as much as people know him as a performer, he is one of the greatest songwriters to come out of the U.S. and Motown, the whole Motown scene. Not only songs for Smokey Robinson, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, but for other people like Mary Wells. Mm-hmm. He wrote My Guy, things like that.
Yeah, which became My Girl.
He wrote My Girl.
Yeah. Smokey Robinson, he'll be 74 on February 19th. So he considering his years, he's not far from his prime.
No, he's looking good, too.
I think he's had a little bit of work.
Could be. And I saw Leonard Cohen. This was earlier in the
New
year,
Orleans,
in March,
right?
At the Mahalia Jackson Theater, which is a wonderful venue. So Leonard Cohen played there. And Leonard Cohen, I think, at that time was 78 years old. He might be 79 by now. But his was a fantastic show, and he did so many of the songs, the classics from the 60s and the 70s. And he was another guy. He didn't move very fast, but he had plenty of energy, and he played a nearly three-hour show, which is amazing for a guy his age. And his musicians were fantastic. The biggest disappointment for me that came very late in the show. You know, he's known as a singer-songwriter, so he did a lot of his own material. But at the end of the show, he did a classic. He did Save the Last Dance for Me, which is not an original song by Leonard Cohen. And I just felt like he spoiled it, because he'd cast this wonderful spell with his own songs and his own music, and then he did the song by someone else, and I felt the spell broken. Maybe that's the way he intended it. I don't know.
We'll return with John Wirt, and we'll talk about some other matters, including a dust-up with Ani DeFranco. And, John Wirt, we miss Mary Wilson of the Supreme. She was at LSU earlier last year, and she put on a fine performance. Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number outside the area. 877-217-5757. And you may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. John Wirt, entertainment editor of the Baton Rouge Advocate and the New Orleans Advocate, is with us. That was the fifth biggest story of 2013 from the Advocate, was the sale of the newspaper. John, you're now working in various places. It is the New Orleans Advocate, by the way, when you go down to New Orleans. And
it's also the Acadiana Advocate in Lafayette. And I know there are plans to expand the Acadiana operation.
The number one story chosen by the Advocate, by the way, in today's issue for 2013, the St. George story, which may end up being the number one story of 2014 as well. Here's an email from Jim Wood. He says, Alan Abrahams is the producer of Joan Baez. His wife is Margaret, the daughter of the late Jerry Fowler. She's a wonderful performer as well. Joan stayed at my daughter Stafford Kendall's house through Thanksgiving. Margaret works for my daughter at Covalent Logic. Happy New Year from Jim Wood. Well, thank you for
thank you, Jim.
Appreciate it.
I'd forgotten Alan's name.
Now, you've written the last few days about Ani DeFranco. Online protests have led the new singer-songwriter from New Orleans to cancel a retreat that she had scheduled for June at Nottoway Plantation and Resort in White Castle. And that brings us to another performer who was here in 2013, kind of on the sly. It was Todd Rundgren.
Right.
Who was at Nottoway celebrating his, I think, his 65th
birthday.
Were you there?
Yeah, I went out there the last day. And it was Todd played a concert, and there were tents set up in the field in front of the big house on the plantation. And it was sort of a kind of a hippie kind of gathering, you know, people dancing and, you know, having fun. It was I don't know if anybody thought about this whole controversy about the slavery that it had existed at the plantation, you know, pre-Civil War. I don't know if anybody thought about that, but this was quite a liberal group that was out there. A liberal and well-heeled group that was out there with Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, he charged quite a bit to enjoy his birthday.
You would have to have some good deal, some good cash to
was it like 10
to
grand
afford
or
that.
Something? It was an enormous.
I don't remember what the exact figure was, but it, you know, it wasn't cheap because they're spending. It might have been 4 or 5 days out there, and this is apparently a trend in show business where people can. Get in on these things and spend time with their music heroes. I think Bonnie Raitt's doing one. Other people are doing one. In fact, the general manager out at Nottoway told me that this is a new and happening thing in music.
Well, Nottoway is a beautiful place, but it has a history that includes the sordid aspect of slavery and the retreat's plantation setting. And the history of slavery drew a frenzy of angry web posts over the weekend, writes John in yesterday's Advocate. Condemnation from websites such as Jezebel and Change.org. And this caused Mr. DeFranco to pull rank and say, we're not going to do it. Now, she does have a concert this Friday, right?
Well, this retreat or seminar, a songwriting performance seminar, retreat is what they were calling it, was supposed to be in June. Now, Rundgren's thing was in June of last year. These concerts, she's playing at the Varsity on Friday and the House of Blues in New Orleans on Saturday. So those had already been scheduled and announced long ago. And then this retreat was announced in the mid-December. December 13th, I think, was the date. And all of this mushroomed, and you have to, if you're not familiar with Ani DeFranco, she is a activist, socially active singer-songwriter in the tradition of Pete Seeger and Peter, Paul, and Mary. She's identified with activist causes, liberal causes, and she's known as a feminist. And so her people in her base or people who were familiar with her at these are probably liberal and feminist websites, you know, who know Annie DeFranco and probably followed her for years. So apparently there's been this reaction from them that they were angered that someone who they thought was a feminist and a social activist would do something at a plantation with this history of slavery. So she put a long message on her website where she explains how it all went down, and she was taken a bit aback about how it was a plantation, but she thought, well, it can go forward and this can become part of the conversation. But apparently, you know, she was very hurt and surprised by the intensity of the reaction of her doing something at a former plantation. I don't remember anyone objecting whatsoever to Todd Rundgren.
No, and as you say, Mr. Rundgren is a liberal guy.
Yes.
I've seen him perform in drag. I don't think we'd see Willie Nelson do that.
And Willie's a liberal too, though.
In his own way.
Yeah.
He's 80 years old, too. Is he coming back to the varsity?
He was making these annual appearances at the varsity in January, it seemed like. I don't think he's coming back this year.
Yeah. Well, Friday, isn't it for this Friday at the varsity, Annie DeFranco?
That's right.
Okay. She's quite a performer, by the way.
And she's very good. She's a wonderful artist.
Yeah. Here's Kevin with a sampling of Annie DeFranco.
Squint your eyes and look closer. I'm not between you and your ambition. I am a poster girl with no poster. I am 32 flavors and then some. And I'm beyond your peripheral vision. So you might want to turn your head. Cause someday you are gonna get hungry and eat most of the words you just said.
297-5633 for John Wirt. We're reviewing the year in entertainment. We'll get to some movies as well. And John Wirt is a man who follows movies and music and occasionally television, which brings us to a question from Inkster Show at WRKF.org about reality shows, in particular the Louisiana-based reality shows. One is making it big, despite the controversy over Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson. The other, The Governor's Wife, didn't last a month. Why was one successful and the other not, John Wirt?
I did watch an episode or two of The Governor's Wife, and, you know, I thought, well, it's kind of amusing. It was pretty slight, though. And obviously it did not attract an audience, a small audience. And if people aren't watching, you're not going to stay around too long. Now, people watch, obviously they watch Duck Dynasty. It's a huge show on cable. And I confess to you that I have never seen an episode of Duck Dynasty. Have you, Jim?
I've seen bits, but I've never sat through a whole episode, no.
So
I did sit through a whole episode of The Governor's Wife.
Okay, and now you've
which
had,
makes
you've
me
had,
a minority, right?
You and I, so me too. I wanted to see it because Governor Edwards is obviously he's a charmer, you know. And I but they called it The Governor's Wife. They wanted it to be more about her than him. But you know, frankly, who else is a more dynamic public personality? It's the governor.
This is true. 297-5633 for John Wirt. 877-217-5757 is your out-of-town number. And Inkster Show at WRKF.org. Now, were you in any way surprised? And we're going to get John in an area where he usually doesn't go. But were you surprised at these politicians falling all over themselves to defend Phil Robertson and his, quote, First Amendment rights?
That's an opportunity for them to perhaps get some more votes. And I think that's the major reason they would do that. It's so cynical of them. And I have no respect for these politicians who come out and do something strictly to get a vote. But I know that's how the world works.
It's interesting that another Louisiana legend, not Robertson, but Roberts, Robin Roberts, thanked her longtime girlfriend, Amber Lane, in a year-end post published Sunday on the ABC News anchor's Facebook page. It acknowledges the health issues that Robin Roberts has overcome in the past few years, and also her 10-year same-sex relationship with Miss Lane, who's a massage therapist from San Francisco. Now, I haven't heard anything from the governor or the lieutenant governor defending Robin Roberts and praising her for her courage to come forward with this revelation. It's kind of doubtful that we'll have the same kind of passion defending or praising Miss Roberts that we did for Mr. Robertson.
Well, that wouldn't win them any votes from
It might. We might be surprised. But on the other hand,
not too many votes in Louisiana.
Well, and these are, of course, conservative politicians we are talking about. But Robin Roberts, I think, is every bit of a Louisiana icon as Phil Robertson is. Interestingly, both of them were athletes. Robertson was a quarterback at Louisiana Tech, and Robin Roberts played basketball at Southeastern Louisiana University. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, good morning. You're first up.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
All right. Just a question on the with the recent thing over the Duck Dynasty, and some legislators wanted to pull back the tax credit. Do you think we will keep the tax credit as we've been having it in the past years, or will it kind of be challenged a little bit in the state of Louisiana? Because it seems like a lot of shows and a lot of productions are coming to Louisiana. And what is the next big movie to be made in Louisiana? Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye.
Biggest movie? What are there any big movies on the horizon in our state right now?
There's so much production in Louisiana. I'm sure there's some more bigger movies. Now, the production schedule is not something that I pay that much attention to. I know that HBO has a new program called True Detective with Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, and this was shot in Louisiana. It's an HBO show. It's got these two very good leads, and it looks like just my early take on the show is that this could do well, could be another HBO, one of HBO's popular shows. Now, Tremé, an HBO program, just ended this past Sunday, and Tremé, of course, that's the program set in New Orleans after Katrina, and it's from the people who did The Wire. The Wire was a popular HBO show. Tremé never really caught on, and it didn't last that long. It did three full seasons, which is 11 shows, and then it did one partial season, which was 5 shows. And again, it didn't catch on. I think it didn't have a strong story. It's as if the people who made the show thought, well, we can just set it in New Orleans after Katrina, and the setting and the characters and the music can carry it. They never had a strong narrative going. True Detective looks like it's going to work, though.
As far as the tax credits, I'm sure there'll be efforts to rescind them or to curtail them, but my guess is as long as Governor Jindal's in office, they will survive legislative scrutiny, and the governor has been a major proponent of attracting industry of all kinds, including the entertainment industry, and has had success on that front, and my guess is that he would not wish to change the inertia. 297-5633 is your number. Al in Millerville. Al, good morning. You're on with John Wirt.
Hi. I had a question. Does John think that the release of 12 Years a Slave had any impact on the outcry over the performers' retreat at Nottoway?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if there's any correlation. I didn't see the movie mentioned anywhere. So I really don't know. But it is a great movie, and it's up for lots. It's going to be nominated for lots of awards. I think it'll probably get multiple Oscar nominations. It's already received lots of nominations in Golden Globes and so on. And it was shot in New Orleans and outside of New Orleans at 4 plantations. So it's got an authentic look. It's beautifully photographed. One of the interesting things about it is that it's such a serious, dramatic and direct depiction of slavery. I've never seen slavery depicted with such clarity, and it doesn't give you any breaks. There's nothing romanticized about it. And, you know, traditionally Hollywood has presented slavery in a romanticized light, and the best example, of course, is Gone with the Wind. So I really don't know if the movie had anything to do with that. If people had seen the movie, though, they would have gotten a depiction of slavery that they'd never seen before.
Would you rank that as the best film of the year?
It's been at the top of my list. But it's been at the top of so many lists for so long, sometimes you see a backlash. People get tired of it or whatever it is, or they look elsewhere. You know, it's at the top of my list right now, and it's interesting that a British director
named Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen, a British director who lives in Amsterdam.
This isn't Steve McQueen from Bullet and The Getaway.
No, that's the Steve McQueen we love. We love Jim. I remember seeing Bullet in 1968 at the movie theater.
Really?
Fantastic.
In Richmond, Virginia, my guess.
Yeah, at a downtown theater when they still had downtown theaters. So this Steve McQueen, he's a great artist, and he did a fantastic job with this film. He's only done a few films so far. He's a young director, and I hope he has a great career ahead of him. If 12 years as a slave is an indication of that, he will have a great career. And the British actor who plays the lead, Chiwetel Ejiofor, that's an African name. He's a British actor, a British national of African descent. He played the lead. And he's going to be nominated, and there'll be many nominations for 12 Years a Slave.
297-5633, HB in Denham Springs. Hi, HB. You're on with John Wirt.
Good morning, and Happy New Year to both of you, sir.
Thank you.
My question is very simple. Celtic Studios came on the news the other night publicly voicing their opposition to St. George becoming a city. My question is very simple. With them enjoying a 30% tax break that the citizens don't even get, what dog do they have in this hunt? Thank you, sir.
Celtic Studio is busy, successful. And that's a question that it could be. You have to go to Celtic Studio to ask them what they're so interested in about this. I don't know that.
Well, the consensus by the people at Celtic and elsewhere is that the people who are not in the St. George limits would suffer if this new city becomes a reality. And this will be a story that not only was ranked by The Advocate as the top story in our community for 2013, quite likely it'll be the top story for 2014, no matter how it turns out. And you'll follow it every step of the way right here on WRKF. 297-5633. Back with John Wirt of the Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Acadiana Advocate in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757. Inkster Show at WRKF.org. Happy New Year. Happy 2014 to you. John Wirt with us for the full hour today, the entertainment editor for the Baton Rouge Advocate. For how many years now?
I think it's 22 years.
22 years. I said, well, been following this scene here for a decade, over a decade. It's over two for John Wirt. You really liked 12 Years a Slave. What other films stand out for 2013?
I'll give you my top 10. Of course, it's still changing, but this is it as it is now. Number one, 12 Years a Slave. Number two, Gravity. Number three, Nebraska. Number four, Inside Llewellyn Davis. Number five, Saving Mr. Banks. Number six, Philomena. Number seven, Captain Phillips. Number eight, American Hustle. Number nine, Rush. Number 10, Fruitvale Station. And I also like August Osage County, which will open on January 10th in Baton Rouge. And I like the Secret Life of Walter Mitty too. The Wolf of Wall Street, I don't like that much.
Did you like Anchorman 2?
you know, that's something I had to miss. I missed that one, and it's doing very well. It's making lots of money. Usually I'm not that enthusiastic about sequels,
mm-hmm.
and I don't remember being that crazy about the first Anchorman. Been a while. It's been quite a few years since I've seen it.
Fruitvale Station, is that shown in Baton Rouge?
You know, I'm not sure if it's shown in Baton Rouge.
It's a great film. I saw it in Washington, but it's an amazing work.
What did you admire about it? Because, again, it's not a mainstream film.
Did you see it?
I did see it, and I like it very much.
Obviously, if you ranked it in your
top 10. You know, I saw it, and I wrote a review, and if I remember correctly, the review ran only in the New Orleans edition because it wasn't even playing
in Baton Rouge.
I'm not sure, though.
Well, it's just a riveting true life account of, in fact, it's about a New Year's Eve shooting in the subway system in the Bay Area. And
was it 2009 when it happened?
Yeah. It's remarkable work. I also liked In a World, which never made it.
In a World is coming to Baton Rouge for one night only. At the Manship Theater in January.
Really?
Yeah, so I think it's a few weeks from now.
It was a great film. 297-5633 is your number. And if you've picked up your Baton Rouge Advocate or your New Orleans Advocate today, front page story, Melissa Harris Perry, a Tulane University professor and MSNBC host, has apologized for comments about Mitt Romney's grandson, who is African-American. Here's how the dust-up with Miss Harris Perry occurred.
Pretty cute. Everybody loves a baby picture. And this was one that really a lot of people had emotions about, this baby picture this year. This is the Romney family.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, there on Governor Romney's knee is his adopted grandson, mm-hmm. who is an African-American, adopted African-American child, Kieran Romney. Any captions for this one?
One of these things is not. That little baby front and center would be the one.
And isn't he the most gorgeous? My goal is that in 2040, the biggest thing of the year will be the wedding between Kieran Romney and Northwest. Can you imagine Mitt Romney and Kanye West
I think this picture is great. It's really sums up the diversity of the Republican Party.
Yeah, really.
Now, Ms. Harris Perry writes, "I am sorry. Without reservation or qualification, I apologize to the Romney family." So she has apologized, and this is a case in which a darling from the left is getting skewered for remarks. We saw it with Phil Robertson a few weeks ago. Some would say the remarks are totally different, but nonetheless, this is front page news today in The Advocate. And Ms. Harris Perry has some amending to do. She probably will survive this, just as Phil Robertson survived his fiasco with GQ. But words sometimes hurt people, and she has acknowledged that. And Mitt Romney, certainly I think he should be commended for having a multiracial family.
You were saying this latest example is an example of the left criticizing the left.
Well, I'm sure the right criticizing the left as well, and in some cases, I would imagine that she's getting criticism from some people who are normally in her camp. But it's warranted.
The DeFranco thing is there was a comment on one of the comments was. Apparently, someone on the right laughing about the left eating the left. You know, so it interesting dynamic that the left would attack
the left,
Annie DeFranco, so dramatically.
That is an interesting point of view that I hadn't really thought about. But you may be onto something, John, in that the left seems far more. Amenable to criticizing its own than the right does. That is something. 297-5633, Reginald and St. Gabriel. Reginald, you're on with John Word of the Advocate.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Good. Hey, I was listening to y'all mention Duck Dynasty, and I was telling the other guy that, they said that it backfired on Bill talking about the homosexuality and so forth. And I heard on the radio just the other day, and I went and looked it up on the internet, and he said it. He said that the 15-year-old and 16-year-olds, that's when the guys should marry the girls, because after that they're good for just picking your pockets.
All right. That's, I think, a previous tirade from Mr. Robertson. These remarks, as insensitive and inflammatory as they were, John, I don't know that they were that big of a surprise. I think most people thought he had feelings that might be somewhat like that. Maybe the most shocking remarks as far as a revelation about the man were those that he made about black people, saying that they had it pretty good in the 1950s.
Anyone who looks at the history of Jim Crow and segregation in the South, anyone who looks at that, looks at the history of it, I don't know how anybody could say that. Because, the civil rights struggle in the 20th century is one of the greatest social movements in the history of the world. And I guess, you know, Mr. Robertson doesn't know much about it.
Mr. Robertson, Phil Robertson is not getting punished too readily by A&E. It was a suspension that amounted to a non-suspension, since 9 shows are already taped, and he'll be on in time for the 10th show. But the outpouring of affection for the man was notable, too. He got plenty of criticism, but he also got a lot of supporters, including Governor Jindal, Lieutenant Governor Darden, Sarah Palin, others, jumped to his defense rather quickly, and you're saying it's quite likely because of his soaring popularity.
Yeah, I think it's opportunistic of them, and we shouldn't be surprised at all that politicians do things that are opportunistic.
Mm-hmm. And this is really not a First Amendment issue. No one was denying him his right to say what he said, but there are consequences to words at times, as would happen if one of Jay Darden's employees criticized him publicly, or if one of Bobby Jindal's employees criticized him publicly. Quite likely they would lose their jobs because of statements. But nonetheless, both of them framed this as a First Amendment issue. That seems a bit of a stretch.
Yes. If you're employed by someone, it's their prerogative to have you in their employment or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Phil Robertson thing is probably going to go away for a while, and then we'll see if it happens again. It's curious about some of the people who remain silent on this, too, and did not get involved, and perhaps it's to their credit that they did, because the easy thing for a politician to do would be to jump on the Robertson train, because, after all, I think he did have a big role in getting Vance McAllister elected to Congress. The guy has some political clout, no doubt about it. And in his part of the state, it is extreme. He is a cult hero. What if he had run for Congress? I don't think there's any doubt he would have won, John.
And there's certainly a precedence for people in show business running for office and being successful. You know, Sonny Bono, certain president named Ronald Reagan.
How about Jimmy Davis?
8 years president.
Former governor of Louisiana.
Jimmy Davis, my sunshine. Singer. Yes. All of this. And, you know, Sammy Kershaw was a lieutenant governor candidate not too long ago.
Yeah, he didn't fare as well, but you're right, he ran. And who knows, he might even run again. Sometimes the political bug bites these people, and they can't help themselves.
You know, it was a joke. At one time, it was a joke that Ronald Reagan would even aspire to be president of the United States. And I remember seeing Ronald Reagan's face on the cover of Mad Magazine in 1968, and it was the White House starring Ronald Reagan. of course, he became president and was very popular for 8 years.
Yeah, and he was governor of California for 8 years, too. He did not run for office until he was 55 in 1966 and completely reversed his political beliefs. In 1948, he was a Truman Democrat. He was campaigning for Harry Truman and for Hubert Humphrey.
And oh, then, do politicians reverse themselves? I'm shocked.
It seems like that is the case. Now, Governor Jindal, he's only 42 years old. He, to my knowledge, has never been a Democrat. But most of the Republicans who are now in high ranks in Louisiana were once Democrats, and they reversed themselves, maybe in part because of philosophy, but also I think they reversed themselves because they knew that it was easier to get elected as a Republican. And that's just the way of the world. But Edwin Edwards, his reality show didn't go anywhere. He'll be 88 years old. He, according to most constitutional authorities, is barred from running for office as a state candidate, meaning he cannot run for governor in 2 years at the age of 88 unless he gets a presidential pardon. What a show that would be if he were to run. Do you get amused or bemused about the political chicanery that is Louisiana? Or do you rise above that in the entertainment world?
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad I don't have to cover politics. I know it's a lot of people want to cover it. It's very colorful, and it's interesting stuff, and we have lots of things, issues and corruption, unfortunately, to cover. But I'd rather stick with entertainment, okay, to be honest with you.
Well, you mentioned In a World coming to the Manship Theater in January. Barry Manilow is coming to the River Center January 29th. What else is in the offing in the early part of the year?
You know, you mentioned earlier that Bayou Country Superfest expands 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
3 days for the first time in 2014, and they have some very big names. You know, they have George Strait on one of his rare performances, because George Strait is entering a period of sort of semi-retirement. He's going to continue recording, but his performances will be quite limited. He won't tour anymore. So this is a coup for them to get George Strait, and they're going to have Reba McEntire, who's a very big, you know, established star in country music. So looks like this will 2014 could well be the biggest year in Bayou Country Superfest history. So what we're also looking forward to is the announcement of Jazz Fest acts. That's going to be very soon, I think it is, that we'll know who's playing at the 2014 Jazz Fest. And they've had some incredible years in the past few years. So be interesting to see what they come up with this year.
George Strait, by the way, at the end of the 20th century, which was 14 years ago, was named the fourth greatest country music artist of all time, and he's had several hits since then. Eddie Arnold was number one, by the way.
Eddie Arnold. I think a lot of people now don't even know who Eddie Arnold is.
If I remember right, I think Eddie Arnold was one, Kenny Rogers was two, Willie Nelson was three, and George Strait is four. But George may end up, you're writing down Hank Williams. He was certainly in the top
senior.
10. Senior, who died on this date in 1953.
Oh, my God.
How amazing about that?
Hank Williams, I love his music, and he's someone who's lasted forever in popularity of people who love the deepest, greatest country music.
But his career was so short, that's why he is not ranked number one.
I would rank him number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
Rolling Stone named him in like the top 40 of the greatest rock stars of the 20th century.
Well, some of it, like Move It On Over, some people say that's one of the first rock songs. It's a pretty rocking song.
Well, Johnny Cash, too, also had an enduring career, and I don't recall if he was in the top four or not, but he should have been.
I would say Hank Williams one, Johnny Cash two. And I had the privilege of seeing Johnny Cash late in his life, one of his final performances at the House of Blues in New Orleans. And as I said on the show before, who was there but Governor Edwin Edwards?
with his second wife at Candy.
Yeah.
What happened to Candy?
Good question.
Well, she was a striking first lady and an elegant woman who stood by her man when he was convicted on May 9th, 2000. But Edwin Edwards, to his credit, when he went to jail for 8.5 years, he said, move on with your life. And she did. And as he said, they sent me away for life, and I came out with a wife, a new wife, the beautiful Trina Scott Edwards, who is still out and about, but apparently will not be on reality television any longer. We thank you for joining us today. Happy New Year. Back tomorrow. Until then, for Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.